Hey, just to say, in the process of moving venue in 2 weeks' time, there is such a lot going on, and lots of changes and tweaks to this, and shifting bits and bobs, you know, and buying this and buying that. Just want to really say thanks to the tech guys who do such a great job week in and week out. Well done, boys. It's a good job I do the weights, isn't it? Because this mic's really heavy. And so I'm going to be holding it for the next few minutes or so. Anyway, let me just run through very speedily just a few things to bring you that's going on in the life of the church. Wasn't that a great time worshipping together as a whole family? It does make a difference, in, you know, when there's more people in the room. I totally accept that. But we are going to be going back to the Shoreham Centre as two services, totally expecting God to fill our ranks and to do something very special. I'm going to be speaking about exactly that in a few moments or two, about what that means to enlarge our tents and to strengthen our stakes and to lengthen our cords. But do that in a few minutes or so. Just a few things to fly through. We're starting a new series next week. Have you enjoyed the prayer series? Have you enjoyed that? Anyone enjoyed that one? It's been absolutely great, hasn't it? 10 weeks of learning about what it means to be part of a praying community. I felt tremendously equipped, and I've totally loved the prayer week that we've just had, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights, being together as a whole church, all four locations together, hearing from God, enjoying one another, being totally encouraged for this next season ahead. So we're starting a new series next week called This Life, and screen behind me, there we go, just about see that, a series from Proverbs. That's going to be totally brilliant, a wisdom book. And it's got something to say to every single person in the room, no matter what stage of the journey of finding out about Jesus you are on. Perhaps you might be sitting in this room thinking, not even sure God exists. Well, let me just say to you, this series is for you. And it's going to help you. It's going to stir up all sorts of questions for you. And I just encourage you to get along to it as we kick that off next week. That's going to be a lot of fun together. This coming Thursday evening, we have what I'm calling a walkabout. It starts at 8 o'clock with pizza. Yes, we like pizza in this church. In fact, we like food in this church. But I think about 60 to 70 people have said they're coming already. If you are part of our Sunday teams, any of our Sunday teams that make Sunday happen, this is for you. Join us 8 o'clock. We're going to have a walk around the centre in its new form and have a little look, see what's on offer for us. Get inspired as to how you might operate the team in which you serve. Your champions will be there. Those that lead your teams are going to be there to help you answer any questions that you might have as well. Thursday, 8 o'clock, please be there to join us. Next little item, wave one of these if you can put your hands on it. Wave it in the air like you just don't care. Well, I hope you do care, because it took Mike Spence ages to do this, didn't it, Mike? Where are you, Mike? Are you right here? Hasn't he done a great job? There are a whole host of brilliant small groups which start week commencing the 28th of September, running in 2 5-week blocks with a 1 week gap. So it's 5 weeks, a week gap so we can gather together and pray as a site together, and then a further 5 weeks. This is so exciting to say, look, I'm going to plug myself into community life here. We don't just do this thing for an hour and a half on a Sunday, but actually we quite like each other and we want to get to know each other and we want to get to know Jesus more and learn how to outwork our faith, no matter what stage of the journey we're on. So please, I commend this to you. Work out which group you'd like to be part of. Perhaps you're thinking, actually, I don't think I like any of those. Come and chat with me and I will shoehorn you into one. I guarantee that. Now, I'd love you to consider getting yourself plugged into one of those. The easiest way to do that is to get your other card on your seat, which is your welcome card. Write the number of the small group that you want to attend on the brochure here. So if you want to attend the village, okay, you write number 13 and put your name on the card, pop it to the connect point, and we will get you signed up for that group. If you already think, well, I'm already part of that group, please, I'd love you to sign up for it and confirm that you're going to be there. That would be so helpful for everybody, and I won't be chasing you in the week to say, hey, you're a member of this church, why haven't you signed up? Anyway, that's what I'll be doing, and I hope I haven't got to make a phone call to you. Do sign up, please, please, please. It's going to be brilliant in this gathering season of ours. The next item is a central notice that's being presented across all of our sites. On Friday, this particular Friday coming, we're going to be partnering with a church in the city centre called St. Peter's. who are great friends of ours, doing a phenomenal job reaching many people with the gospel in the city centre. And we're going to be partnering with them and Holland Road Baptist Church to pray for our city. It's something that we want to start regularly doing. If you feel motivated to be part of that and you want to get yourself plugged into that, then it's 7:30 at St. Peter's. There'll be people from CCK there. People from St. Peter's, obviously, they're hosting, and from Holland Road, and we're going to be praying with others for the city in which we live and which we're connected. Let me commend that to you as well. We love to pray in this church. That's why we do whole series on pray. And on the 24th of September, I want you to get in your diary a time together. We're going to gather and have our regular, what we call encounter, which is simply our time of getting together, having a drink together, and then praying and worshipping. This is the last time we're going to be getting together as a church before we go back into the Shoreham Centre. So I want to say, look, if you've never been before, come to this one. And if you are a regular, please don't miss this one, 24th of September. Just had the venue confirmed yesterday. It's going to be, we can't meet in the Shoreham Centre, which is a personal frustration to me, I'll have you know. But we're going to be meeting in the Methodist Church where we've had the last three or four encounters. That's where we'll be, Methodist Church in Brunswick Road, straight across the railway crossing. Please join us from 7:30 for an 8 o'clock start. Be with us to pray. Well, the last Sunday before we move is next Sunday. And it's also the start of our new series, as I said. And we want to go out with a bit of a bang. We're having another single service at 10:30, but we're inviting you to come at 9:45 because in the atrium there, we're going to be throwing something of a party atmosphere. There's going to be a bouncy castle, a serious bouncy castle with a big slide on it and everything. And I'm going to be on it. And there's going to be a crepe-making machine, and Danny McBride is going to be serving the crepes. What a star. And who likes spray cream with Nutella? That'd be my favourite. That'd be my choice. Or, I don't know, savoury. Are you doing a savoury one as well, Danny? Curry crepes. It's going to be brilliant. Please come. We're going to have music as well. So we're saying come at 9:45, have a chinwag, have a crepe, have a bounce, and then we'll do the 10:30 thing together, and we'll be straight into our first instalment of our This Life series. Great, wonderful. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a little think about what we're going to do today, do this morning in terms of our teaching. So, Lord, I want to thank you, God, that you've got us here, Lord, in one sense, to hear from you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would keep speaking to us just as you have already this morning. We love truth, Lord. We love chewing on the fact that you are a good father and that you are intent on doing us good, even this morning, Lord. And we pray for every single human heart in this room, God, that we would walk out of here different, changed, provoked, encouraged. Just we ask for this, Lord. We don't do this because it's fun. We're not a club. We're appointed people. Lord, you've given us life. You've given us life abundantly, Lord. And we say, please, would you continue to do that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. The giving in this church constantly blows me away. People are giving regularly by standing order in other ways. There's buckets on these tables here and here where the bread and wine is for communion. If you feel you want to give this morning at any point, you can do that. Just want to say thank you for your ongoing commitment to church life. It's such a blessing to us. I know that it really is, and the whole team. Anyway, just let me get straight into this. We're flying along with time. I'm hoping to finish around 12 o'clock, but looking at my clock, I'm thinking, interesting. Let's see how we get on. If you're new to the church, perhaps it's your very first visit this morning, I'm going to speak quite briefly from the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. But first, I want to take a few moments to honour a range of individuals. And maybe, as I say, if you're new and you're kind of looking in, I don't want you to feel, oh, great, they're just going to kind of do this clicky family thing. Well, I just want to appeal to you and say, look, so delighted you're here and that you are looking in this morning. I hope you'll permit us just for a short while to have a bit of family fun and actually you like what you see. Is that okay? Is that all right? I hope that is okay. You might think actually that what I'm about to do is important to do from time to time. But you know, my heart would be is that we actually excel in honouring one another in this church. How about that? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing to have that kind of culture in church life where honouring is normal? You know, it's normative. almost to the point where we famously celebrate one another. We famously celebrate one another's gifts. The Bible's quite clear in chapter 12 of Romans. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. That really isn't gender specific. Take that to mean sisterly affection as well. Outdo one another in showing honour. Isn't that a great scripture? Isn't that a challenging scripture? When was the last time you got hold of someone and said, you're brilliant? You're brilliant. I got a card that said you're absolutely brilliant the other week. That's nice, isn't it? But isn't that great? Let's learn how to outdo one another in showing honour. So that's what the next few minutes are going to look like. I hope that's okay. And then I'll speak from the passage, and then we'll take bread and wine. Danny's going to help us to take bread and wine together, and we'll respond accordingly. As I say, in the last 6 years, it's been my total privilege to serve alongside an amazing group of guys across our four sites. And for us in Shoreham, we began meeting as a site pretty much exactly 4 years ago to the day, which as I was reflecting on it this morning, I was thinking, wow, amazing. And I've had the total privilege of serving alongside in this site Colin and Jill Bonner. Their name's going to come up on the screen, hopefully. And I'm kind of repeating what I said a little bit earlier on, but he is a wise man. He is a kind man. He is a strong man. He is a tender-hearted man. He's a robust man. And he has a wife called Jill, who is all of those things as well. It's just thankfully, Colin says. It's great. I really want to honour these guys as Colin officially steps out of eldership and into a, dare I say it, a quieter season. Dare I say that, Colin? When I chat to my dad, who's a similar generation to Colin, he says, retirement, no such word. It's called redeployment. If you're a Christian, you just get redeployed and eventually promoted. You might be asking, well, what is an elder anyway? Sounds a bit weird. What is that? And it does, I agree, sound a little odd in our culture, but essentially it's a man appointed by God, recognized by a church community as gifted and qualified to shepherd the members and attendees of a church community. An elder, in very simple terms, outworks the three G's, okay? He guards, he guides, and he governs in accordance with Scripture and in the context of team and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? That is what Colin has done so diligently. Protecting, loving, confronting in love, teaching, pastoring, modeling. You never realized you'd be a model, did you? And passionately desiring to see the gospel worked out in church life, in you and in me. It's just phenomenal, isn't it? I've personally learned so much from Colin and Jill, watching carefully about the way they relate to us and to God. Colin, you're a total inspiration. I want to just go through a few photographs with you. That actually is the best photograph I could find of Colin. It's terrible, isn't it? No, I don't mean it's a terrible... What I mean by that is it's great that it's you, but it's just not very high quality. So I think when it comes to the close of play today, get your iPhones out and all take fantastic photos of Colin and post them on his timeline on Facebook, okay? That's what we want today. And there's Jill looking radiant and fabulous, doing what she does best, loving the next generation. It's just outstanding, isn't it? Keep going. Look at that one. Colin and Jill make friends with anybody. And he's a family man as well. They love their family. And always smiling and always enjoying God. What's the next one? Let's have a look at the next one. There you go. Even at a young age, he's teaching them to drive fast and loose. And although that car probably doesn't go very fast, but I know Colin does have a fast car tucked away in his secret garage and that he takes Jill out on Fridays. And but he just can't help it. And you see, you think it's raining in that picture, but actually it's not. He's just embarrassed and putting his hood up in case he gets pulled by the police. That's what it is. That's what it is. Let's go to the next one. There you go. That's a picture that someone took on my phone of when Colin and I, we have the privilege of serving in our children's work as well because we believe in it. We believe in teaching our next generation. We believe in loving their little young hearts. And Colin was brave enough to do a burping contest with me So that's what's going on there. That's the kind of things we do. It's a great way to get the gospel into their hearts, to get a well-known brand of cola into our mouths. And, of course, Colin's got the biggest burp on the planet. So absolutely great. Let's have a look at the next one. There you go. Now, the other thing about Colin is that he's often known to force people to laugh at his jokes. And there's Keith Gaze there, nervously laughing, and Colin just acknowledging that that was one of his better ones. But so if Colin does joke with you, laugh heartily, it'll soon be over. And we're going next. Here we go. Colin is a great lover of the gospel. Colin loves the lost finding their way home to God. That's very, very close to his heart. And when I was a wee lad, Colin used to take me to prison, didn't you? Do you remember that? No, he doesn't remember. I can't believe that. He definitely needs to step down. And Colin would take me to Ford Open Prison. He's remembered now. And I would listen to Colin teach the gospel to people in the chapel there. And it's just something that I enjoyed doing, and he encouraged me to speak on occasions as well. And Colin loves meeting those in great need, not just great physical or emotional need, but those in great spiritual need. You know that everyone in this room is in great spiritual need, and it's Jesus that meets our need. And Colin is passionate about that. So that picture of him reading and teaching not that long ago from the story of the prodigal son is a great example of where Colin's heart lies. But just kind of in closing, in terms of honouring these guys, here's what Colin wants to do now. He wants to be a granddad, and he wants to have afternoon naps. And I can totally relate to that, as many could in this room. And so why don't you guys come up, please? Come and just stand here. And we're going to pray. And we're going to applaud you guys, because actually they've got a better offer. They're going to leave after I've done this. They're actually going to walk out the room. And Colin said, when I walk out, can you tell them that it's not that I'm unhappy? We've just got another engagement. So let me pray.
Yeah, that engagement is a golden wedding anniversary, my brother. So we daren't be late for that. Otherwise, I won't get a Christmas card. But just want to say very, very briefly, it's such a joy to have served with Matt and the team here. There are some guys and their wives who are just emerging in strong leadership potential, and it's so, so exciting. The future of this church is in God's hands. It's in good hands. But the most privileged thing of all has been to serve a God who means everything to me and to Jill. And he's mighty, and we'll still be around. We still want to share his love, but in a slightly different role. Yeah, okay.
Brilliant. Father, thank you for Colin and Jill. Thank you, Lord, for their life well lived. Lord, thank you for this investment, Lord, in your church. Thank you for their high view of church community. Thank you for their high view of human life, Lord. And we just honour them, Lord, and we just say thank you in Jesus' name for all of their input, their energy, their love, just their shaping of culture in church life, Lord. And we just say, please, would you bless them mightily? Lord, would you bless them in terms of health, in their marriage, in their immediate family? God, we ask in Jesus' name that they would know that stepping into this next season is one of total joy and contentment. Lord, we ask for it in Jesus' name, and we say thank you again for all that they've done, all that they mean to us. Amen. Amen. Let's applaud these guys as they leave. That's great. Those guys will be making their exit when they need to, but so great. Wonderful stuff. So, let's just have a little look and see who else is on the board here. Who have we got next? Oh, that's an interesting couple. Steve and Laurie Bell. Are you guys in the room? Give me a wave if you're in the room. Hello. Is Steve as well? Don't know. Come on, Steve, where are you? You're hiding, aren't you? Just want to honour this couple. Steve and Laurie Bell, head up our welcome team. And let's have a look at the next photograph. Oh, that's a nice photograph as well, isn't it? I did pick a beauty there, didn't I? And let's have a little look at the next one. Let's have a little look. Now, okay, right. So Steve, much like Colin, is insistent on communicating jokes and just stuff which, you kind of feel obliged to listen to. But Steve is, if he was in the room, he'd be laughing. And if that picture there, Danny, okay, Danny didn't know I was going to show that picture, but actually Danny would say that was probably, quite a hard time for him to stand there and listen to Steve and his jokes. But Steve is a guy who catches you unawares with the way, here he is, Steve, woo! He catches you aware with his engaging way, the way he welcomes people, the way he draws you in and makes you feel like you're valued and appreciated. The same goes for Laurie. No wonder they head up our welcome team. No wonder they are very precious to us. Let's have a look at the next photo. Is there another one of these guys? There we go. See, again, like Colin, they make friends of anybody. I dare say at Christmas time you'll see this guy around, and he'll be in the room as well. But we just wanted to say, Steve and Laurie, we love you guys very much. We honour you in your gift that you are to the church. Let's give them a round of applause. Now, what have we got next? What's next? Oh, that's interesting. That gave you a fright, didn't it? Where are you going? Now, it's been my privilege to serve in Red Cogs, which is the name of the older age bracket of our team, the children's ministry, the children's program, and my allocation has been to work alongside Luke and Sophie. And I just wanted to say that these guys are absolute stars. They are a treasure to our children. And they love them, they're committed, and they want to see children know Jesus. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the next phase of what we're going to do with our children's work. And having Luke and Sophie in the team is a total blessing to this church. I want you to know that. I want you guys to stand up. We're going to clap you. Go on, stand up. Stand up. Come on, come on, come on. Yep. 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 But just flick to the next one. There you go. I can never normally find... You cannot find, okay, apart from that first photograph, there is no photograph in the public domain of Luke looking normal. Okay? And that is why the kids love him. Because they love this guy. They love this character, Luke Baldwin, who is just different from week to week and is just a great fun guy to be around. Did you know that he can even be found in the aisles of shopping centres hiding dogs under his jacket? So there you go. Love you guys. Well done. We honour you. We thank you for all that you're doing. Where are we going next? Oh, Martin. Martin. Now, I do know that Martin and Ruth are not here this weekend. They're away. But that actually is a picture of Martin diligently making sure that the kind of AV stuff, the stuff like this, happens, and it happens smoothly and brilliantly, quietly and diligently getting on with the job, not making a fuss, quietly excellent in everything that he does. But there's a side to Martin that not many people know. Have a look at the next photo. He's dangerous. Watch out. He can wield a shotgun, and just remind him when you see him. We know you're diligent, Martin, but we also know you're dangerous. Okay, can we clap those? Can we clap Martin, even though we don't know? Yeah. Okay, let's have a who's next? John. So. John Rain, who's standing at the back looking embarrassed, and we'll give him another clap in a minute. John is largely responsible for the 9 a.m. ever even happening at 9 o'clock in the morning, because he has quietly and uncomplainingly and faithfully pulled the 9 a.m. trailer from its little position just over in Shoreham to this building week by week. And it's a pretty thankless task, to be honest. But I just want you to know, John, that it is vital, and your faithfulness in it has been a total blessing. Even an unknown one, an unsung hero, and a real blessing to this church. Let's give John a applause. Just one final person I'd like to honour, and let's go for it. Ah, oh, Maggie. Where is Maggie? You see, Maggie is so faithful, she's not even in the room. She's probably tidying up after your mess. So, oh, she's in Cogs, sorry, yeah. She is tidying up your mess, your children's mess. Your children's mess, she's tidying it up. Just want to say to you that sometimes there are people in church life who genuinely do go unnoticed, and but I don't want to not notice them. God certainly does not let them go unnoticed. And so I had a chat with Lindy the other day, and I said, "Have you got a photograph of Maggie? It's impossible to find one." So I had it specially commissioned, and Lindy took it. And is she going to walk through the door? Is she coming, Steve? No? Okay. Well, she might do in a minute. But I just want to say that Maggie loves the church. She loves people. She's coming. Uh-oh. That sounds good. And she's going to walk in here in a minute and be thoroughly embarrassed. Maggie Cheeseman! Hello, Maggie. I'm just telling everybody what a total star you are, and how your commitment to church life, though largely unnoticed, is hugely valued. And we really honour you, Maggie, and bless you so much. You can go back to Cogs now. If you've got a Bible, I'd love you to turn to Isaiah 54. If you don't have one, or perhaps you use a smartphone, that's totally cool. It's going to come up on the screen here. I'm going to read and then pray and just help us as we spend the last few minutes together thinking about what God might speak to us about this morning. Sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. God, I just want to pray that you'd help us, help me in these few minutes that we have. We so want to hear from you, Lord. We want to be encouraged to the very core of our being. Lord, we just ask by your Holy Spirit, would you speak in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. This passage has been in the foreground of us as a team, in our hearts and minds for quite a few years as a church in CCK. It serves as a promise. It serves as a perspective giver, as a prophetic encouragement to us to not hold back. That's been our story in church, you know, in the city and beyond, including the air out here, the wider surrounds. We totally believe that God has spoken to us about shaping up, readying ourselves for growth, for blessing, for local impact, for the good news of Jesus to have impact. And as a site, we're on the move, and we're just going to watch a very brief video, if that's okay. Do you want to flick that video on for us? Is that okay? Do it. It's fantastic. It's exciting. It's not that far. And honestly, there won't be any traffic that time of the morning either. So we'll be getting there quicker. It's about a mile and a half from here, but we're going to be moving to the Shoreham Centre on the 28th. You know, there was much activity in preparation for our transition. Loads of practical arrangements, blueprints, plans, problem solving, recruitment. All of that sort of stuff is in full swing, and that's entirely appropriate. But we could get bogged down in the function of this move and forget about the bigger picture. Or worse still, be tempted to doubt the bigger picture, even question the goodness of God in it. In the summer, if you can call it that, Alison and I went on a brief camping trip and thoroughly enjoyed the assembling of the tent. That's what goes on, isn't it? Laying out the ground sheet, marking the points for the tent pegs, spreading the tent itself, and gradually bringing the whole thing to life, fit for purpose. We'll forget that it rained like you wouldn't believe. But in the assembly process, there's a point where you need to focus on the pegs and the cords to get this thing to stand up, fit for it to house the intended occupants. And even if, as I was doing this bit of the job, sort of sweating, swinging a hammer, getting a bit grubby, I began to think about this kind of season for us as a church, moving venue, one that is undoubtedly going to raise an eyebrow in the heart of the town, in a building that suddenly, this new refurbed building, suddenly it's going to have tremendous clout, not because we're moving in, but because the council are moving into it, and it's going to become the civic presence for the whole of West Sussex entirely, the whole of Ada. There's been a shaking up of every single Sunday team in the process, but amongst all the activity and the preparation, there's the opportunity for us to wholeheartedly believe the promises of God. That's my first point. Believe the promise of God. That's my invitation to you today. As a community, we're about to move, but first things first, let's believe God when he says, I'm going to bless you and grow you beyond your imagining. And I want you to prepare accordingly. That's what he's saying to us. Believe that. Yeah, there's a stack of function required, process and organization. That's a given. But let's start to dream about what God's going to do, about what he could do. Are you with me on that? In this passage, God says the children of the one who, up to this point, have seemed unfruitful, they're going to be many. Do we believe that for ourselves? Have you ever been tempted to look at another church family member's life and think, oh, they're so fruitful in their walk with God, and just look at the people they know and the way they influence. Look at their success in bringing friends to church. Listen to me. God says, believe me. I'm going to do much, much more. You will be fruitful. And I believe I'm speaking that prophetically to us this morning as we grasp it for ourselves. What else does he say? The invitation is not just to believe the promises of God. Wrapped up in these statements is further evidence of his goodness to us. Do you know that he loves us so much that he's given us free will? He's given us gifts. He's given us abilities. He says, do you know what? I want you involved in the outworking of these promises for growth. I want you to get your hands dirty. I want you to do some lengthening and strengthening. It's exciting, isn't it? Are you excited about that? I love the sovereignty of God, okay? It's peacemaking. It stills the human heart. The understanding of the mystery that he knows everything about the unfolding of time from start to finish brings great security, especially when there are painful mysteries in your life. He's working things out for our eternal good according to his great love. He's sovereign, but he hasn't set us up as robots, outworking his every whim. No, we're created in his image, with free will to make choices. And let me say to you this morning that the choice is to believe the promise of God. It marvelously includes his confident instruction to us. Let me read that scripture again to you. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. You know, generally speaking, when a couple move house, they commit to creating space, usually, okay? I'm not being too specific. I'm being very, very general. It's often done without seeing evidence of actually needing the space, But there's something in their actions and decisions, isn't there? And their poise that speaks of a quiet confidence that growth is coming. Do you know that Jesus is building his church and nothing is going to get in the way of it? Did you know that this morning? That might be a very familiar statement to many of us. Not our mistakes, we'll make those. Not our apathy, we'll all be guilty of that. Not our complaining or our boredom. Can you dare to permit yourself this morning to dream big for this church, this family? How do we shape ourselves up to serve a church of 500 in this area? Just let yourself dream for a second. How do we do that? Why don't we do that? I want to ask you this morning, will you commit with me? Can we do this thing together as we believe the promises of God for Shoreham and surrounds? Can we as family make our plans, shape our lives, get a bit dirty as we set out the places of our tent, hammer the stakes into the ground, lengthen and tighten the cords that hold the structure up? Can we do that? I'm just going to pray. Lord, I want you to help us this morning to grasp your big picture for this area. Thank you that this church is plan A for seeing many come to know you. There isn't a plan B. We pray for the other churches in this area, Lord, and we say bless them in Jesus' name. But we say bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to take bread and wine in a minute or two, but before we do that, I just want to help us practically to work out what does lengthening and strengthening look like? What does it look like? Okay, there are a couple of things that we need to know. Did you know that when you rock up on a Sunday, it's a bit like an enormous army of worker ants have been at it all night, making this place splendid for you? I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to bust that myth. The deal is that people have rocked up early to set this room out, put pens and papers on chairs, put this fat screen up, get the children's workrooms ready, set out the croissants. It's a big deal. There are epic teams going for it week by week to deliver a fantastic experience for everyone who crosses the threshold, and especially those who are new to church life or at the very beginning of getting to know Jesus. Do you know how important it is? It's hugely important. We're not perfect, but the beautiful can-do of the setup crew, the tech team, the welcome team, the refreshment team, the children's program, the worship bands, this just fills me with so much appreciation and respect. So what's my encouragement to you? Join a team. Join a team. Be part of it. Join a team that makes Sundays epic. We've got this moment where we're going to move house, and I want to invite you to get stuck into a team. Would you do that? That's my encouragement. Use the card on your seat or come and chat to someone who you know leads a team. Next encouragement, join a small group. We've said something about that already. Please get stuck in and plugged into community life. It's there that we find relationships, we find life, we find the opportunity to pastor and to be pastored. You cannot be a lone ranger as a Christian. You must see this as important. You must. That's my encouragement to you. We're almost there now. Next point, bless your closest. What do I mean by that? Bless. Remember, B-L-E-S-S. Begin with prayer. Listen to people. Eat with people. Serve people. Share your story with people. As we enter this term, it could not be more important. This is the term where we gather and we love people. We love where we live and we want to be a blessing to those who are literally closest to us. Friends, family, neighbours, work colleagues, schoolgate, office. Be a blessing to your closest. Danny, I was wondering if I can ask you to come and help us move on. We've got opportunities in this church. If the band could come up as well, that'd be great. It doesn't matter who you are or what your context. It doesn't matter if you've been here right from square one or perhaps it's your very first day. It doesn't matter if you feel you've got nothing to offer, because you have. You have. Go and chat to Maggie Cheeseman. Let's pray together as well. Danny's going to help us with that in a second, but I want us to pray. Can we stand together? Is that okay? I want us to pray as a church. I want to again just say, please do join us at our various contexts for prayer. I won't go into those. You know what those are. But we are a church that commits to dialogue with the living God. And he's committed to us as well. Let's not lose touch with the importance of staying close to the Father who longs to speak to us. God, we want to ask, Lord, that you just be with us in the last closing moments of this service as we take bread and wine. We want to know you. Lord, we want to understand your phenomenal commitment to us in Jesus. Ask yourself this morning, do I believe the promises of God for this church? What does that mean for me? Danny, why don't you help us with communion?